Now let's go back to jewelry making.
Okay.
Who is your market? Who typically, you know, when you walk into your shop?
Visitors. And then Stowe people. I had a lot of Stowe customers, and I kept very careful records about what everybody bought so that somebody coming in would say, ah, I've got to get my wife a present, I can't remember, and I'd look and say, well, you know, this is what she likes and this is what she's got. And so I had a lot of local business, and like most of the businesses, I would say 30 to 40% was repair work. And I also sold other things beside jewelry. When I got to my big store, I had gift-type things that you could buy. But I would say, local business, Waterbury, Morrisville, Stowe, some people from Burlington. But a lot of the repeat customers were tourists.
Now, what was the name of your jewelry shop?
It was called Beckerhoff and Stone Limited.
And how would you describe your artistic style, or your, you know, if you were to describe?
Well, I didn't have a style. I have friends who were jewelers, and I could spot their stuff, and everything you knew had been designed by them. I really didn't have that.
So how would you describe your jewelry to me then?
Well, I made things of silver and gold, and I used stones, and it was more contemporary, not traditional. I did take a course in diamond setting so that I could do that, but the majority of what I made was less formal, bezel set sort of things. And I did have a man who did stone setting for me. If I designed a piece, he would construct it and set the stones. But mostly it was semi-precious stones, mostly silver and some gold.
Are there any particular pieces that come to mind and that you're most proud of in your career?
Well, yes, I had a piece bought by the Fleming Museum in Burlington, which I understand they sold. They deaccessioned it and sold it, I understand, at one point. But I have a picture of it down in the
basement. And what is that piece?
It was an agate set with silver, and it was just an interesting, free-form, unusual piece for its time. And, I have a book this thick of slides of things that I made, and a lot of one-of-a-kind pieces. In fact, I was just the other day, I'm packing up to leave now, and I found two sheets of jewelry designs that my daughter made when she was at the University of Pennsylvania. I said, make me some designs and I'll pay you for it, you know, instead of just, you'll earn the money that I'm giving you. And quite a few of those were one of a kind, and I made them, and I just was interested to see because I'd totally forgotten what it was I'd done. Very interesting pieces. So that was, and I don't have them on now. Usually I wear my square bracelets. And everybody loved them and still comment on them to this day, and I couldn't sell them. And so I decided that square bracelets were for round people, and round bracelets were for square people. But, I did a lot of one-of-a-kind things. Really, that was what interested me the most, using different techniques that I'd read about.
Did you continue to design jewelry after you sold your shop?
No. After that, I just sort of packed it in. It got to be very difficult to go to craft fairs because the way you displayed your jewelry almost became more important than the jewelry you were displaying. And booths got more and more expensive and took more and more time. And it got to the point where I couldn't do that by myself, set up a whole display and then, you know, unpack it and put it back again. Jewelry is an easy thing to sell because you can put an enormous amount of jewelry in a shoebox, but to build the booth to put it in and the lighting and that whole thing, and it just got to be expensive.
Was there more and more competition through the years of other people doing?
Yes, not a lot of people in jewelry, mm-hmm. But just more and more people selling things so that a buyer coming would be distracted. In fact, Kai Wright and I set up two craft fairs, since we're responsible for two craft fairs at Stowe, or three. And at one of them, we put all the jewelers in a row. Usually they all like to be in different places, but it made it a lot easier for the people to look at them all and then come back to the one that they like. And it didn't affect, they were a little distressed in the beginning, but it didn't affect sales, because if what you had appealed to someone, they would buy it.